Lord, we're thankful to be here, and I'm so thankful for your presence. Father, I pray that every person in this room will be encouraged by the time they leave here. Lord, that they would just see what I've seen this week, Lord, that they would feel your presence. Lord, that their desire would be to serve you with all their heart, with all their strength, with all their might. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the title of the message today is Why the Church is Important. And I hope it's a real encouraging message to all of you this week, because I've been really encouraged this week. And I hope I can share that with you all, and what the church has been doing, what's been going on. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." I want y'all to think about that with the people in this room. People in front of you, the people behind you, the people next to you. And whether you know it or not, we're on your side. We're with you. Sometimes it's hard to be with you when we don't know there's a problem, when we don't know there's something going on in your life. It's hard to come alongside somebody when they tell you they're wonderful, they're great. But it's really cool when the Holy Spirit just reveals things, and we find out through the Holy Spirit that someone needs help, someone needs encouragement. But church, these verses are for us, to let us know it's better to be together. It's better to have those that can come alongside of you to encourage you, to help you, to pick you up when you fall down. Anybody ever fell down here? I have, physically and spiritually. I fell down both ways. And it's wonderful when you've had someone there to help you up, someone there to lend a hand, someone there to even just be. And not even maybe give you advice or correct you, but just to be. To just love you. And let you know how much you're loved and how much you're cared for. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." You know, when I think about that verse and I think about a knife and taking it across a stone to sharpen it, and sometimes that's not always easy, and it's hard and it's coarse, but the finished product is something that's useful. It can even be, I don't know if any of y'all have ever watched that, I think it's called like Forged in Steel or something, where they'll take and make these weapons and different things, you know, and they'll heat that metal up to form it, and then they'll take those hammers and beat on it, and then they'll polish them and rub them. That's all hard work. But the finished product is something beautiful, and it's something useful. Now, about a year ago, maybe it was a little more than a year ago, I asked some of y'all what the church means to you. Why is the church important? And I ask you that because many churches throughout our country, and even us, had closed down for a few weeks because of the COVID, and I was trying to draw out in you what does the church really mean to you? Why is the church important? And some of y'all responded, it was a beautiful, it was amazing, and it was just wonderful to hear back from you. So as I was studying and I was reading, what I really wanted to talk about this week was coveting. I don't know. Sometimes I get stuff in my notes and it'll simmer for a couple weeks before it's ready to come out. And I felt like this was a week for coveting. but this is what came out instead. And I was just thinking about all these verses and what the church means. And And you guys know that I'm not a traditional preacher. I'm not formally trained in any way other than the Holy Spirit leading me. And so, you know, most time preachers will make 1, 2, 3 points or 4 points, and I don't usually do that, but today I did that. And so why is the church important? And I got number one is to encourage. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10:24. We're here to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:24-25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Think about what that says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So what can I do here this morning to encourage you to love and good deeds? To show you how important it is that you do something for the kingdom of God, that's what we're here to do. It's to encourage one another and to say, let's begin to work together. Let's be what it talks about in Ecclesiastes. Someone's falling down and we're going to help them up. As iron sharpens iron, as Proverbs says, what can we do here to encourage you to love and good deeds? And then verse 25, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I believe conviction is good. Some people don't like conviction. Some people get mad at the preacher if they feel conviction. Conviction's good. Conviction shows when you're going down the wrong path and you need to repent and ask God to forgive you and get headed down the right path. Conviction is good. And so I believe there should be conviction here, but I also believe that there should be encouragement here for one another. That we need to be encouraging one another and loving one another and pushing, spurring one another on towards love and good deeds. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in the past you are doing, or just as in fact you are doing. I can't hardly read my handwriting here. Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just in fact you are doing. When was the last time you encouraged somebody? I mean, think about it. Sometimes I catch myself being negative and griping and complaining. And I forget that I need to encourage. And we need to encourage one another here. You know how wonderful it is when someone comes up and say, man, we missed you. We love you. Where you been? Maybe not where you been. Sometimes, what do you do? You know, but just letting people know, or telling people, if you see, you know what, I thought about you this week and I was praying for you. You know, I thought about you this week and I was just lifting up your family. You know, I remember that time you did this for me and I just want you to know how much I appreciate it. You know, it can just go on and on and on of how we can encourage one another and lift each other up and build each other up. That's what the church is supposed to be here for. Going to Romans 15. Romans 15, verse 1. Romans 15, verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failing of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. You hear that? That's part of the church. That's part of encouragement, is to please those around us and to be building them up, to strengthen them. We who are strong need to be with helping those that are weak and encouraging them and strengthening them. Verse 3 says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insulted you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Why is the church so important? Because the encouragement of the Scriptures. For us to hear God's Word. Now, yes, you need to be studying God's Word at home. You need to be studying it as a family. You need to be hearing God's Word. But church, I also believe that it's important for us coming together and hearing the encouragement Word of the Scriptures so that we have hope. So that we can encourage one another. Because you know what? Sometimes I don't remember verses. And someone else will say a verse, and Sunday nights we're calling it a prayer meeting, but really it's a fellowship, it's a prayer meeting, it's a exercise night, or doing all kinds of stuff together. We're just getting to know each other and encouraging one another. And it's so cool when someone will say a verse, and I'm like, I never thought about that verse for this. I've never thought about that verse. And it'll bring something to mind, and it brings encouragement to me. God's Word brings encouragement. That's why we should be here. And then verse 5 says, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So that's kind of, verse 5 is taking us from our second one, or from encouragement, our first one, to our second one, unity. Because he says, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as fellow Christians. So the church is here to encourage each other, and it should be here for unity. I want you to think about the best sports teams. What do? They practice a lot together. They practice so much together, and I'm not hardly watching a lot of sports anymore. I just don't do it. But it's amazing to me. It seems like it's especially that way in basketball. If some guy will be going down the court and he'll be looking this way and he'll throw a pass that way, and it's perfect, right on target to the guy that's wide open. And I'm like, I love watching that and see how they work together and how they know this person's going to be there and that person's going to be there. And it's just a split second. They can make that pass, or they can make that shot, and someone's there. Why? Because there's unity. Because they know each other. Because they're together. Because they practice together. Because they're with each other. In church, that's what we ought to be. We ought to be encouraging each other, and then there ought to be a unity. Give us a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ, so that one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we need unity? To glorify God. I want to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. I told Crystal, I said, when I started this, I didn't even know what I was going to preach on. I thought I was preaching on coveting, got in this, and then I said, as I got going, I think each point could have probably been a whole week sermon, but I tried to cut it down so you guys wouldn't be here all week with me. But Philippians 2, verse 1, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility considers others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Unity is promoted through being together, and unity is promoted through putting others above yourself. I want you all to think about that. How much do you want to hang around with a selfish person that's always about them and their desires and their wants and what, you know? I remember when I was a little kid, and I had a new friend. I was about fourth, fifth grade, that was inviting me over to his house all the time to stay the night and everything else. But when I'd go to his house, all he did was sit there and play Mario Brothers video games on Nintendo. And it was his Nintendo. I didn't have one. And so he was really good. And his turn might take 45 minutes before he'd get killed. And then I'd get my turn. And if I was having a good day, I might get 30 seconds before I was killed. And then it was back to his turn. But I remember his mom got after him one day. And she said, Pete doesn't come over to watch you play your video games. You need to stop. I'm giving him his turn. He was giving me my turn. I just wasn't even good at it. But she was right. I was bored. I didn't want to sit there and watch him play video games the whole time. Y'all, we don't want to be around selfish people. We want to promote unity. It's putting others' needs first. And that's what the gospel calls us to do, is to love others as we love ourselves, and consider how we may build each other up. And not in selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility. We want to promote unity here. We need to step back and consider, what can I do for those around me? Led by the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, I know you guys wouldn't do this, but I got to confess, I've done this sometimes. Sometimes I've done stuff just because I want people to like me. And that's selfishness, right? That's not led by the Spirit. So we really need to be led by the Spirit and promote that unity and consider others better than ourselves. And what can I do to help them out? Ephesians 4:11 through 13 says, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." See, each one of us has a different job. Each one of us has a different task. But when we're all working together in unison, God can do amazing things. And He can build this body up. So number one, to encourage others. Number two, for unity. Number three, why is the church so important? Because He promises to be with us. Do you guys know God's here right now with us? That's pretty cool to think about. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three come together in My name, there I am with them." For where two or three come together in My name, there I am with them. Are we here in the name of the Lord this morning? Amen. Is there more than two or three of us here? Yes. So God promises that He's here. He's here right now with us. That's amazing to think about, that the Lord is here. He promises to be with us. That's why it's so important to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Corinthians 5:4 says, "When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit and in the power of our Lord Jesus is present." Now that particular verse was talking about expelling the immoral brother from among them. But I just thought that it so fit when they're assembled in the name of the Lord, and the Spirit and the power of the Lord is present. God promises to be with us. He's here this morning where we're gathered in His name. And number four is, we can accomplish so much more together than we can by ourselves. In Romans 12:4-5 says, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." We're one body with different functions. And it's just like when something's missing from your body's not going to quite work right, right? Some of y'all have had recent surgeries to try and get your bodies back working right. Some of y'all have had accidents that you're missing some body parts. And what happens? You're not functioning completely properly the way you were intended to. Now, some of y'all have done very well missing some parts. Amen, Mike? You keep going and you keep functioning. But it's not the way that it was, and it's not the way God intended. And y'all, I don't want our church to be functioning not the way God intended. So each of you has a part. Not all are pastors, not all are prophets or evangelists, but you all have your own part. And we can accomplish so much more. And I want to go back to Nehemiah. And I encourage you to go back to Nehemiah chapter 4 with me, because we're going to be here a few minutes, really the rest of the sermon pretty much. Many of y'all know, that's been here a while, know Nehemiah is one of my favorite books. when I first began to preach here, I really leaned heavily on Nehemiah, and I felt like it was a word for this church in particular, and we studied it, went through it, been through it more than once, I believe, over the years. But Nehemiah chapter 3 is given all the names of who did what. Okay, so it was talking about everybody is working. Everybody's doing something. But I want to begin in chapter 4 of Nehemiah. And it says, when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the walls, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, if even a fox can climb up on it, he would break down their walls of stones." They're making fun of them, right? They're making fun of them. What do they think they're doing? They think they're going to do something there? You know, sometimes people feel that way about churches. Oh, that little church, oh, bless their heart. They've been struggling for years, and they're just barely... Hey, do they really think God's going to do something with them? People look at churches that way. People might have thought that about us when a few years back when we was, it was just like trying to keep the lights on, you know? And I leaned heavily on Nehemiah because I knew what the Lord was telling me in my heart about this church. And then He wanted to do something with it. And church, He's not done. There's more to be done. But people will mock, people will ridicule. True story. Some of y'all remember this, but we were down to just a few people here. And Wednesday nights, me and Crystal had started going to another church. I felt like that was what we were supposed to do. You guys, some of y'all remember that. Only for a few months this happened. And you guys asked me if I would preach here. And people from a big church in this area came to me and pretty much said, "Pete, you're not going to help that church. It's pretty much, it's done with. One person can't come back and help." And they was trying to get me to go to their bigger church. Y'all, people are going to, I don't think they meant it evil. I don't think they meant it ill intent. And I'm not one person that did make a difference. It's the Lord making the difference, but it's us following in obedience, okay? It's not Pete Rose that done anything here. It was the Lord that has done everything here, okay? But people are going to make fun, and they're going to mock, and they're going to ridicule, and they're going to say, that place is done for. You might think that with your family. You might think that with some of your friends. Don't think that ever, because with God, He can do amazing things. Verse 4, "Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." I don't fully understand that. But I understand how you would want to say that. God, let them have it. But we're not supposed to be of that spirit, right? We talked about that. They don't know what spirit they are of. When the disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven, that was 3 or 4 weeks ago, we talked about that. But here they're like, "Lord, turn their insults back on them." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it had reached half its heights, for the people worked with all their heart. You know, I've seen times here that it did seem like everybody was working with all their heart. And I've seen other times here where it's like, well, we've accomplished something, so we're done. And people kind of scatter and go back. Not on purpose. Sometimes it might be, but just well, I don't know what to do. And so, but there's been times of such unity here that I've seen where the whole church is together and working for a common goal. And here they worked at it with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arab, the Ammonites, and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against them. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Church, maybe today we don't have people standing down on the corner, up a few miles away, looking at the church and going, "Ooh, I want to destroy that Coop Prairie. I want to come against them." But it still very is real today that we have an enemy, Satan, that wants to destroy the church in America, that wants to destroy this church, that wants to destroy your homes. And he's coming to fight against us. Verse 10, meanwhile the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the walls." Have any of y'all ever been there? I have. Oh, the job's just overwhelming, Lord. I don't know what to do. God, my strength is gone. I'm worn out. I'm tired. Lord, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else step up. Verse 11, also our enemy said, "Before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." And that's what the enemy is doing today. If you try to take a step forward to God, if you say, "My life's going to be different. I'm going to make a commitment to God. I'm going to lead my family. I'm going to lead my home. I'm going to lead my children. I'm going to witness to my coworkers. I'm making a change." What's going to happen? The enemy is coming after you. He's going to attack you, and you could get so discouraged so quick. It's like every time I move, every time I do this, every time I do that. Heard a testimony this week, and I'm going to share that in a few minutes, but of a young lady that is a new Christian, and she's been sick and in the hospital, and she told her mom, "Mom, every time I pray and I take a step closer to God," she said, "it feels like I'm just hit and knocked back 10 times further." That's what the enemy wants to do, and he wants to discourage you this morning. Verse 13, "Therefore I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed place, posting them by families and their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your homes.'" Why do we need the church today? Because in there's low points when the walls seem like they're crumbling, maybe in your neighbor, maybe in the person sitting in front of you, the person sitting behind you. We need to be coming alongside of them, posted and ready to encourage them, to bring unity, to bring strength, and to fight. Fight for your families. Fight for your brothers and sisters in the church. Fight. And how do we fight? We don't fight with the weapons that the world fights with, right? We fight with the Word of God. We fight on our knees praying. We fight seeking the Lord. And when was the last time you fought for the person sitting beside you, the person sitting in front of you, the person sitting behind you, and on your knees and praying for them, saying, "God, I don't know where they've been for a few weeks. I hadn't seen them for a few months. God, I noticed at church they weren't smiling like they... God, I noticed at church that they didn't talk to me." And you know what? What happens sometimes when you're not talked to? Well, why didn't they say hi to me? No, that's the time that we need to be on our knees. We need to be posted and saying, "Lord, is something going on? Has the enemy put something in their mind? Are they discouraged? Are they having family problems? God, what do I need to do? How can I bring strength to them? How can I encourage them?" Is anybody getting this morning? When the walls are tumbling, when there's low points, that's when we need to fight the hardest. When our enemy heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we returned to the wall, each to his own work. From that day on, half of my half of my men did the work while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officials posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried material did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword at his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. They were well equipped to do their work. They had their swords. They had the people standing guard. They had the people doing the work. Each one had their own jobs that they took care of. Churches, it shouldn't be any different today. Each one of you has a job. Each one of you has a task. Each one of you has something that you need to be taken care of. And we need to stand guard over one another. Six, 15 and 16 says, "So the wall was completed on the 21st of Elul. In 52 days, when all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God." Why is the church so important? Because we can accomplish so much more together when we're working in unity, when we're working alongside one another. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Last week I talked about pride, and I'm not going to lie to you, I got hit with a lot of pride this week. But you know what it was pride in? In this church. I so wish that you guys could have been with me this week and seen what I seen. Just in this week, we helped three different families. Tears shed. Answered prayers. People that were going to be, didn't know how they were going to pay their rent. And an unexpected check comes. And y'all, people are looking at me and they're crying and they're hugging me, telling me thank you. But it's not me, it's God, and it's this church being faithful and obeying and doing what they were called to do. And I wish that you guys could have been there with me to see, because it's really unfair just because I'm the pastor, I get to see it. But it brought so much encouragement, and my mind went back to, why is the church so important? This is why the church is so important. To reach out, to bring love, to bring encouragement, to show people you're not alone. And these were people that weren't banging on our doors asking. It was just the Holy Spirit led. We knew they needed help and we helped and we did it and we reacted. I couldn't do it by myself. I don't have the financial means to do it by myself, but us being united as a church, we're doing so much. And we're helping people, new Christians, people that's been Christians for 20, 30, 40 years. And we're able to do that because it's all of us working together. And I'm proud. And I don't know what kind of pride that is. I don't feel like it's a sinful pride. I feel like it's a glorious pride of what this church is doing. But the work's not done. The work's not done. And y'all, we have to be on our guard because the enemy is always circling. The enemy is always looking. Who can I pick off? Who can I take? Who can I grab? But united. Looking out for one another, encouraging one another, praying, asking the Holy Spirit to help us, and saying, Lord, what would you have me do? And then accomplishing it, and watching and see what God can do with all of us, and what is impossible. These walls being built back in 52 days. They went from making fun of, fox can knock it down. It's a little nothing. And you think you're going to rebuild it? Look what the Lord's done with this church. To where we're not only doing well, but we're able to help others now instead of asking, oh, can we even keep the lights on? God's doing something here. But you know what's sad is the enemy's still attacking. I hadn't even told only one or two of you know this. We were robbed this week. And what makes me so sad about it is if the people would have just asked, we would have helped. We would have helped. But they'd rather steal from a church. It's sad. Why wouldn't they think I could go knock on the door and the church would help me? Maybe because they've been turned down, maybe because they've been rejected, or maybe just because they're so full of Satan that they'd rather steal. I hadn't gone and filed a police report yet because I just thought we need to pray for that person and what's going on in their life that they think they need to steal from the church. You guys know we got a security system here because we've been robbed 2 times and now 3 times. It's just sad. But church, we need to love and we need to get outside of these four walls and show God's love, but be united in here with one common purpose, with one common goal. And I hope and I pray that you guys are encouraged this morning at what this church is doing and what we're accomplishing. And if any of y'all need encouragement, the next time we're going to help somebody, you let me know. And I'll give you the check. I'll give you the assignment, whatever it is, and you can go and knock on their door and talk to them and share the gospel and show them love. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And this church has been giving, and we've been giving a lot lately because God's been opening up the doors and giving us opportunities. And you know what? I pray that He gives us a whole bunch more opportunities so that we can show His love. We're not building up a bank account. We're not building up Coop Prairie. We're hopefully building up the kingdom of God, and we can continue to help those outside of these four walls and inside these four walls, wherever the Lord leads. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word this morning. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would have true encouragement this morning and that we would encourage one another, that there would be true unity. Lord, that Your Spirit would put us all on the same page of what this church is here to accomplish. And Father, that we would understand, just as Your Word says, that You're here in our midst, that You're here this morning, that You're here guiding, that You're here helping. And Father, I pray that each one of us would understand that it's so important that we be here. We be here together because we can accomplish so much more working together and being united. Lord, if anybody needs anything this morning, a fresh touch, deliverance, healing, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't hesitate, that they'd come to these altars and allow us the privilege to pray for them. Father, I pray that we as a church body would continue to be obedient, and as You place these people in front of us, that we would help, that we would offer encouragement, that we would show them Your love. Lord, whatever we need this morning, I know that You can meet that need. May we be obedient now and follow what Your voice is telling us to do. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
When I don't have the strength to give it away to You, Jesus.
I really hope you're encouraged and know God's doing a work here. And I just, I'm looking forward to this year and what all God's going to do. We need to stand our ground and we need to stand our guard and we need to be on our knees and we need to be praying for one another and we need to be aware when someone's missing, when someone's not here. God, you see something in their life, be aware and pray for that person and call that person and go see that, however the Lord would lead. And understand. In Luke 4:16 says, He went to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue as was His custom. That's talking about Jesus, that as was His custom, He went to the synagogue. Jesus went to church. We need to be here. You might think nobody even notices. I notice. I don't even do anything. You do more than you can imagine just being here. And you know what? By being here, it allows God to do something with you and maybe in your life. Prayer at 6 o'clock tonight. Men's meeting. We're in 1 John Wednesday night. And just to let y'all know, 4th of July, we will not be having Sunday service. We will be posting something. We're still working out all the details. We may have a kind of more of an open service on that Wednesday night before the 4th. We're trying to get it all worked out. The only problem is if we have a Wednesday night service, I might be here in my FedEx uniform. And so if you guys are okay with that, that's kind of what I'm thinking, though, the Wednesday night before the 4th. We're going to be gone the 4th. A lot of you are going to be gone on the 4th, and so we're just not going to have service on the 4th. I think it's the 17th or the 18th of July the Gideons will be coming, so be in prayer about if you'd like to help. Fantastic organization, sending out Bibles to all around the world, and so they'll be here middle of July. I've got it. I'm not sure the exact date. Jacob Hopkins will be here, I think on the 11th to preach that Sunday morning. We will probably be back, but I'm not 100%. So Jacob will be here. Many of y'all know Jacob. He's been here before. And so a lot going on in the coming months. And I know we've got people traveling today. We've had a lot of people traveling and out of town. But it's important that you're here. And it's important you know all that God's doing with this church. So, y'all have a blessed afternoon. We'll see you this evening.